This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for 4th and 1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down, let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Raheem Morris today said a few things, Mike, that we got to talk about. One of them being that he does not expect Kirk Cousins, who's currently on the team. And again, they're saying they think he's going to be on the team until something gets worked out. But this is where they've been all along. And we've been telling you they haven't come off of this. But he says, I don't expect Kirk Cousins to be at OTAs. I'm not going to be foolish to think that he's going to show up for voluntary workouts.
Right.
Why would he?
There's no reason. We said that. He's not going to be there, and I don't think he's going to be there for the camp. But when he's pressed about what he'll think will happen, they say, conversely, they've got a great working relationship with Kirk, Carl. I'm paraphrasing. They think he'll be there, and they're still selling that it's viable to have him as the backup after all the stuff that's gone down in the last 6 months.
Yeah, this is one of the things that Raheem said. This is a quote from him. This is not a thing where we're holding him back. If the opportunity presents itself, it's something good for both of us. It's a good thing for the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. We'd certainly like to see that happen. But he feels like, hey, we're not trying to hold him back. We're just not going to give him up. And again, that guys, they paid him $10 million. We said it 5 days after the start of the new league year. It gave them the opportunity to say, hey, we don't have to do a damn thing. If somebody wants to come get him, they can come get him. But we don't have to do anything. We've already cut the check. That is kind of what Raheem is saying here. And he says, I know exactly who he is, Kirk Cousins, that is. There's definitely a human side. And we'd like to see him go out there and be, Mike, you ready for it? The best version of himself.
All right. I hate that phrase so much.
The best version of himself.
I mean, it's one that they use about. They use it mostly for Kyle Pitts. It's generally used about Kyle Pitts. The offensive coordinators use it. The general managers use it, and the coaches use it.
Best version.
You don't want to be the best version of himself. Look at the best version of Kyle Pitts. Get the best version.
All right. I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with it. The phrase in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it because, yes, in a perfect world, we get the best out of all of our favorite players. We get the best out of ourselves. But it's, I don't know, the way that the Falcons use it, like such a go-to, it's just such standard. What's the phrase? Boilerplate?
Yes, it is.
I don't want to hear it again.
Yes,
it is. It's wearing me out.
Yes, the best version of himself.
Yes.
All right, a couple of things from Raheem Morris. Also, as we've been talking about the Falcons and just kind of filling in some of the blanks here, he wasn't the only one talking today. Arthur Blank talked about releasing Grady Jarrett. He says, it was very painful. This is coming from Arthur Blank. You end up emotionally attached to probably almost, you know, all the players in some form or fashion. Someone like Grady becomes a version of another child for you, in a sense, and that Arthur talking about Grady. We know that he was beloved, but guys,
I hate Grady.
This was a business decision, and I appreciate Arthur Blank feeling that way about guys who spent, Mike, a decade here.
Right.
I would hope that you'd feel that way for a guy who gave you everything he had for 10 years. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's business. But Arthur Blank owning the fact that it was a difficult decision.
But Arthur's also learned to never put himself in that situation where Julio will be a Falcon for life.
Forever.
If I have anything to do with it. And Tom was like, you know, you're really kind of wrecking me with leverage here on this deal. But, yeah, Grady was the consummate pro and a guy that's been a leader. Unfortunately, he was surrounded by so many awful players these last few years and just terrible quarterback play that eventually, and look, I think Falcon fans should be keeping one eye on Grady up in Chicago, wish him the best. Eventually, he'll be in the Ring of Honor.
Blank also talking about Cousins, saying, I think at the end of the day, what happens will happen. Maybe something pre-draft, post-draft, I don't know. Arthur Blank talking about the Cousins situation. But he understands what our needs are, and he understands what we have to do as a franchise. So this is where we are, guys. Mm. Let me tell you where we are. We're in the same place we were 2 months ago.
All right, the best case scenario, whether it's the Cleveland Browns or something weird happens, maybe Rodgers does wind up going to Minneapolis, then the Steelers maybe come calling, and maybe the Steelers have more of a sense of urgency about this than the Browns do.
Yes.
Because they're not picking as high in the draft, and the Browns, if they want, can get Shedeur Sanders. You know, but again, this we'll talk more about that in a second, because I know you're hot under the collar about the Shedeur Sanders hate. But as far as Kirk Cousins, I mean, we're going to have to spend, guys. We're going to have to give, and I thought Bill Barnwell, if not for the seventh-round pick, I think the economics of the deal made sense. We're going to have to spend, basically, to get rid of him. We're going to have to eat three-quarters of that contract, right? $25 million out of 37, the other team picks up the 12. And can you please give us a nice draft pick? Maybe a fifth-rounder, please.
Yeah, look.
And that's probably as good as it's going to get.
I don't think you can go into the – if anybody's calling and saying, hey, we're potentially interested, you have to listen. And then whatever the offer is, you can't have the huevos to say, no way, we're not doing it. Like,
right.
Because you're just holding yourself back from getting out of a situation that's not tenable, in my opinion, about moving forward the way this team needs to move forward. And again, I need Michael Penix, Mike, to have all the confidence and all the backing as possible as we get through this situation. And I'm not telling you that Kirk Cousins would wreck the quarterback room. I don't think that's what would happen. But why even have it? I mean, like why have your ex-wife in your house if you don't have to have your ex-wife in your house? Seriously. Like, it makes no sense.
Right. No, so, I mean, but this is why, okay, so down in the owners' meetings, you heard the coach say, we feel that we can have him in there at camp and we'll have a – you're not going to have it. There's no way Kirk Cousins is going to be in that camp. We talked about it when you were on vacay with Ovi Mahaley about it. BMAC said, yeah, there'll be a combination. There'll be some guys will be in their fields. Other guys will be like, I could care less. Kirk being Kirk, like I said to you last week, Manny being Manny. I'm not saying it's going to be like a toxic situation, but it will be weird. And the media will be asking a lot of questions about it. If you think that's a distraction, it can be.
I do, but I do think guys ultimately want to see everybody get their money, and they know the sacrifice that goes into being an NFL player. Do you think all this hype about Stephon Diggs is real? Like, you know, the Patriots, first of all, they had a lot of money to spend, and they spent it accordingly. Mm. But Diggs' impact, I don't know, Mike, if it's going to be what it was at his height when he was with Buffalo.
Right.
And then, you know, he goes to the Texans, and listen, he was trying to do everything right by the Texans, and then ultimately gets hurt. But now, you know, they signed him to be like Drake May's go-to guy. I just don't know if he's going to have that kind of impact.
He had some amazing years, 1,200, 1,400, back-to-back, 21-22. He combined for 21 touchdowns those two seasons. What I think, close your eyes, not if you're driving. I think of Stephon Diggs coming up short on that perfectly thrown Josh Allen pass to beat Kansas City in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting into it, griping on the sideline, being that diva wide receiver. Like, this is what it is. I mean, the optics, remember then before McDermott and those guys traded him? You know, I had a decent conversation with him, and I heard you got into a shouting match, and he went home. Well, no, he had some personal stuff to attend to. So then they wind up trading him to the Texans, and as you said, he never came to fruition because of the injury. So I think he can still be okay, but I think he'll be the same thing DeAndre Hopkins is.
Okay, that's a good comp there.
Right. With good, but not great.
Yeah, with Diggs. By the way, the NFL is updating its uniform policy, too. Did we mention this? They're going to allow teams to wear throwbacks or alternate uniforms up to 4 times per season.
All right. If we can get on a win streak in those red helmets, let's stay with it.
Yeah. Well, Big O's in there, you know, doing the money, the Johnny Manziel money thing that he used to do. Yeah, because it's more merch. I mean, you're obviously going to want whatever jersey or uniform that they're bringing back. But, Mike, 4 times per season? So what did we say? You like the red helmets, right?
I would go the uniforms we rocked with the United. We had the cover behind overtime victory over Tampa Bay when Kirk Cousins set the single game passing record for the Falcons. Red helmet, black jersey, white breeches with a stripe down the side. That would be my Falcon uniform. I think Nike was basically asleep at the wheel with those, you know, those uniforms they came out with 5 years ago.
I agree. That's we're going to see. You know, the Falcons will certainly let us know.
Dolphin. I know a lot of Dolphin fans. They would love to be back in their throwbacks all the time. The old school Dolphin. You know, that logo's meh. There's a lot of teams out there that I think nobody wants to see. Was it Patriot Pete, Chris? Is that what they call it? Or Patriot Pat, whatever his name is? The old school Patriots uni. Remember Steve Grogan in those unis?
Oh, yeah, the old Patriots.
But either way, I love our old, I love our retro uni. I wish we made that our number one uniform.
I'm with you. Also, as we talk about news coming out of the NFL meetings, the method for measuring first downs in the NFL is going to switch
Zoom. using a laser.
From the chain gangs to camera-based technology in 2025. Mm. The league announced today the traditional chain crew will remain on the sidelines as in a secondary capacity. So we'll still have them there.
Right.
But, Mike, they're trying to move forward with technology. Yeah,
it's always great to have overweight 65-year-old guys tripping over the chain and then having to untangle it. That just makes perfect sense. Yes, it's called the Sony Hawkeye technology.
Okay. All right.
Begin laser.
You like this?
Well, you can't shoot the laser through the lineman's leg. I mean, that would really hurt if they use a really high-energy laser. I know that we've seen a lot of these marked situations where it's all a moot point if you're never spotting the ball at the right. But to me, it doesn't really help if the side judges can't spot it correctly. But they will be using this technology.